Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're talking with Kitty Burns today about her book, Teflove. It's Adventures in Vegan Ethiopian Cooking. Kitty, tell us a little bit about some of the recipes you have in this book.
Sure. I have the book is, I have it in my lap. It basically, so all of the recipes are vegan. Most of the recipes are gluten-free. All of the recipes are, I would say, unprocessed and whole foods-based. And then what I wanted to do is I included a lot of traditional fasting recipes in the book, and then some recipes that I veganized, and then some recipes that I sort of put some fusion flavors together to create. And I guess the book is kind of broken up into breakfast, there's appetizers, there's a huge section on wat, which again are those dishes that you are that are served on injera and then, you know, eaten with injera. There's, you know, desserts aren't really big in Ethiopia. I do have a few desserts in the book, but it's more sort of like a coffee and tea culture. So there's a lot of snacking foods as well that can be enjoyed sort of with friends over tea. And then within the what chapters in the book, I have them broken up into those classifications I was talking about before. So there's a chapter on kewat, which are the spicy sauces and stews. There's a chapter on alicha, which are the more mild sauces and stews, although if you're a fan of spicy food, you can definitely spice those up with jalapeno and other hot peppers. And then there's another kind of wat, which is called shiro, which is basically sort of, it's made from like a blend of different legumes, mostly chickpea flour, and it's almost like, the best way to describe it would be a gravy that's eaten with injera, and so I have a chapter on those recipes as well.
You have some awesome pictures, and I'm wondering, you know, if people were to cook a meal tonight, if they want to do a little bit of Ethiopian, what would be a simple recipe that they could go and, you know, they might have the ingredients in their cupboard?
I think the Alitrawat chapter would probably be the best way to start, because you can use, you know, oil, you can use olive oil in the recipes, although if you wanted to get into a little bit more detail, I do recommend making the seasoned oil, just because it kind of adds an extra complex layer of flavor. But those recipes are super pantry friendly. Like one of the dishes I made yesterday, the tikalecha that I was talking about, it's a yellow split pea dish that's really popular in restaurants. It's basically just garlic, ginger, split pea, and water, or you can use a little bit of bouillon. It's very similar to almost like an Indian dal. Super pantry friendly. Another recipe is for something called a ziffa, which is a cold lentil salad. And, you know, lemon, spices, onion are kind of main ingredients in the recipe, along with parsley and just brown lentils.
Now, you use a lot of lentils, or Ethiopians use a lot of lentils in their cooking, and there's quite a few lentils in the book. Lentils seem to have fallen out of fashion, or maybe they're starting to come back into fashion now, but tell us a little bit about how people should cook lentils.
Sure. I mean, lentils are really awesome to eat because they're healthy, but they're also like a really good weekday-friendly food, because they don't take a lot of time to cook, and they're really good for you, and they're a great source of protein. So basically, whatever kind of lentil you use, whether it's a green, brown, red lentil, or French lentil, if you just rinse them off, get the dust off of them, look through them, you know, all the cookbooks I've ever seen have always said look through for like little rocks, or maybe sometimes sticks is in there, but I honestly like never have that issue. But it is a good idea, just kind of, sometimes there might be like a dried bean in there that you can just pull out. And I just rinse it under water and then put it in a pot with a lot of water and bring it to boil. And then, you know, as it starts to cook, it'll foam a little bit on top. And then I just skim the foam off the top and decrease the water and let it simmer. And red lentils, you know, generally are very, very tender in 10 minutes. And brown lentils might take, you know, 15, 17 minutes to make. And split peas take a little bit longer. But they're all done within, you know, 30, 35 minutes.
Well, that seems pretty quick, you know. I always thought you had to cook lentils a lot longer. Is there any difference between the different colors of lentils?
Well, like red lentils, you mean nutrition-wise or cooking-wise? I mean, nutrition-wise, I'm not sure. But red lentils are, you know, a super common ingredient in Indian food as well, like dal, the same thing. And they just, you know, they just cook a lot faster.
Are they? What's but the taste difference? Or?
You know, I think that red lentils kind of break down and become more of like a homogeneous sauce, more than like a green lentil or a brown lentil sort of keep their form, you know, where red lentils just get soft and kind of dissolve. Like, that's why they're really good for soup or for like a stew. But I think like flavor wise, they're pretty mild. I think it's more a texture thing, where like red lentils are smoother and green and brown lentils like have a little bit more of an al dente kind of texture to them.
Now, if we're cooking with teff flour, what do we need to know about that?
Let's see. It's a pretty neutral tasting grain. I actually like it a lot in vegan baking because it sort of gives a color that's reminiscent to wheat. Not that it has like a wheat flavor so much. It's a really nutty tasting flour. It depends on how you're using it. Like, I have two baking recipes in the book that use teff flour. One is cookies and one is brownies. And like any other gluten-free grain, if you're baking with it, it's a pretty heavy, dense flour that needs to be lightened up with a little bit of starch. I think those two recipes in the book, I probably use a little potato starch or tapioca starch just to lighten it up. But, you know, other than that, I mean, it's a great grain to add to just any sort of recipe, and it has a really great nutritional profile. It has tons of protein in it. It has lots of iron and other minerals, too.
Can you cook it up like a rice as well?
You can. You know, I don't have a lot of experience cooking whole grain teff. It's very, very small. And in fact, one of my friends, when he was helping me test recipes for the book, thought he was picking up teff flour and brought it home and realized it was actually the grain. That's how small it is. But I've seen online that lots of people cook it up like a porridge.
Now, what is your favorite recipe using the teff?
I have a lot of different favorite recipes in teff love. One of my very favorite recipes is a traditional fasting dish that's called Yashimbra Asawat, which sometimes, depending on the restaurant, I've seen it in restaurants maybe once or twice, but it is sort of one of those harder to find dishes. And it's one of the kawats that I was talking about. So it's a spicy berberry-based dish. And it's sort of like the onion and ginger break down with a little bit of liquid and spices and make the sauce. And then you make crackers out of chickpea flour that are baked. And then you put those into the sauce and they sort of break down a little bit and make a really great texture. And it's just a really fun dish to cook, and it's really delicious to eat. It's probably my reason that I like it, because of the taste profile. If I'm cooking for other people, I sort of try to tend to make recipes that they might be more familiar with, like the Mr. Wad I was talking about in the cake elixir, because those are things people would get in restaurants. But if I'm cooking for myself, I like some of the spicier dishes. And one of the things that I really fell in love with when I was researching for the book was a lot of flax is used in recipes, and it's toasted and ground. And there's a wat that's called Telba Wat that is kind of just like a toasted flax sauce that you eat with injera that's really delicious.
Now, you use a few different seeds in Ethiopian cooking. What are they, and what kind of flavors do they add?
Well, in my book, the two big seeds besides flax that I just mentioned that I use are sesame seeds and sunflower seeds. And they're both toasted. Let's see, as far as sunflower seeds go, there's a category of dishes that are injera-based. So that tangy crepe that I was talking about is broken up, and then a sauce is poured on top of it. And it's a very, the bread's like really absorbent, and so it sort of absorbs the sauce you pour on top, and it's really succulent. And one of my favorite fit dishes is something that's called yesuf. And you basically toast sunflower seeds and grind them with water and make a toasted almost sunflower seed cream. It's a little bit thicker than that. And then you pour it on top of injera, and you can add jalapenos, or you can add like red bell peppers if you want, and a little bit of onion. You can also add some lemon juice, and you just toss it up, and it becomes almost like a bread salad. There's another version of that that's also made with sesame seeds. Or there's that Miss Arwada is talking about, that spicy red lentil dish. Another one of my favorites in here is something similar to that, but instead of cooking the lentils with water, you add a toasted sunflower seed milk, and it just becomes really rich, and it just has like this really nice toasted, nutty flavor.
Kitty, in terms of the spices, did you ever find out why they use hot spices in Ethiopia?
I mean, it's a hot climate, and peppers grow naturally there, so that's probably one of the reasons. Also, hot food, you know, when you cook with chilies, it preserves the food. And like I said, I mean, the cuisine is centuries, years old, so they've probably just developed those recipes over time. And, you know, just chilies are indigenous to the region, so they've been adapted. And I don't know, from what I've read and my Ethiopian friends that I've talked to, they like to boast that Ethiopian cuisine is one of the hottest, so I think it's something that's just been embraced in the culture.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that there isn't too many desserts, but it's a coffee, tea kind of culture. Do you have many coffee tea recipes in the book?
No, I don't. I definitely have a tea recipe. I'm not really a coffee connoisseur, and there is actually a whole ritual of making coffee in Ethiopia that I didn't go into in the book. I do have the mocha tef brownies. There is coffee in that. I sort of wrote that recipe as a nod towards this tradition. But in that chapter, it's mostly tea and then just sort of snacks and things that can be shared with tea.
Mm. Kitty, what has been the response to your book so far?
I am a big fan of Instagram, and I guess what the biggest response I've seen on there has just been people using the Tef Love hashtag and posting pictures of the feast that they've been making. And people just have been writing about how they're just so excited to be able to create this cuisine at home and how their recipes taste as good, if not better, than restaurants that they've been going to. Or I've been hearing from a lot of folks who... like one of the ways I got into cooking Ethiopian food is I lived in New Orleans and we didn't have an Ethiopian restaurant that was any place near me. So a lot of people have been really happy who live someplace and they don't have access to an Ethiopian restaurant, being able to make the recipes at home. And then I've even gotten an email from, you know, an Ethiopian family in Toronto, and she said that she saw the injera that I made and that they don't even know how to make injera at their house, and they buy it. And so she emailed me to say how excited she was to buy the book and learn how to make it at home.
Kitty, it was interesting talking to you, and maybe tell people about the name of the book again and where they can get it.
The book is called Tef Love: Adventures in Vegan Ethiopian Cooking. You can get it online on all of the major booksellers. Herbivore Clothing also has it in stock, as well as my publisher's website, which is Book Publishing Company.
Kitty, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave. Take care.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kate Rayanne Blue.